ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the set of The Tanya Joy Show. We are so happy that you have joined us today. Real quick, before we get started, I'm going to throw this up. This is the QR code that you can use that will take you to all of our links. So if you just take your phone out, you scan that right now, take a picture of it and scan it later, you'll be able to find my website. You'll get the connection to Bless News Network, where the show is airs every day when we put new shows up. You'll see all of our social media links. It'll just take you everywhere. You'll find addresses, phone numbers, ways you can donate and support what we're doing. So I wanted to throw that up very quickly before we get started here. And then just wanted to remind you that right now we are doing shows Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. As you, most of you know, I'm also in like the acting and singing world, and the Lord has just been so gracious and really amping that world up. And so I've got a lot going on in that world, a lot coming up, a lot of projects. And so I just can't do a show every day anymore because of that. So just please be aware of that. You can always go on Tuesdays and Thursdays and rewatch the show. We've got so much amazing content. I really feel like the guests that we've got on the show, they're top notch. They're just phenomenal people with great stories, great testimonies. The ones that are medical have great solutions for you. So I wanted to make sure I reminded you of that. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you can catch all of our new shows. And I wanted to also announce really quick before I tell you who my guest is today about a free video series. And this is one of the sponsors for the show that we're working with. And it's called I Want My Health Back. And it's a free thing. You can go check it out. Go to www.iwantmyhealthback.com/Tanya Joy. And that'll take you to this free video series, and you can learn about this program, you would call it. It's just miraculous. It's a wonderful thing. I've been using the products. I'm seeing some amazing results from them, and it's free to check out. So I just wanted to make sure you did that. Go over there again. That's www.iwantmyhealthback.com/Tanya Joy. All right, let me get this lower third back to normal. So we are really excited today. For those of you that may remember, I had this guest that we've got today on back last year, actually, and we're gonna put the link down below for the show notes so that you can go back and watch his full testimony. But he's just got an amazing story, an amazing testimony of God's goodness, God's faithfulness. He firsthand knows what it's like to be in the LGBTQ lifestyle and what that is doing to people and what it is doing to their hearts and their minds and their souls. And so we're so thrilled to have George Carneal back on the show. So stick around. You're not going to want to miss a minute of today's show. Today is Wednesday, March 20th. I'm Tanya Joy, and this is The Tanya Joy Show.
Okay, well, we weren't
Welcome back to the show.
You as well. I'm so excited to have you both on the show. And I know we had such good feedback and reception.
General Flynn, what an honor.
Joshua tracked me down in a big tent of about 4,000 people.
How are you?
I am doing so great. Hello, everybody. Thank God I am wonderfully great.
Hello.
Thank you very much.
Because what is prayer?
I'm just Jewish, you know what I mean? And
I'm thrilled to be here with the two of you.
You too. It's
like, and that's who these crazies, these evil ones.
It is. You said it right. Good job.
Perfect. We are the Gibson sisters. We are so excited to have them on with us on Resistance Chicks today.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's time to run. These people that get higher up, sometimes I've thought,
you know, these are glory days and not gloomy days.
Like, I love this.
It kind of works.
Awesome about the tour is people like you.
Good.
I love the applause. That's cool.
There we go. Thank Hi, Joy. Everybody, welcome. We are so excited. Ready to get the show on the road? Let's go.
Transform your life.
Well, if it helps you invest in your health on a daily basis, the answer is
yes.
Consistency is key, and there's not a better, simpler way to begin your change.
That's why we offer a bunch of helpful bonuses when you subscribe to Kingdom Fuel.
Kingdom Fuel is our complete nutritional meal shake.
It's the simple start to a transformed life.
We'll auto ship every month so you don't run out.
You'll receive 2 free shaker cups, free access to our video courses, and a monthly call with us filled with practical inspiration.
Just see the link below or on your screen and subscribe today.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. So before we bring George in, I just want to give you a quick background. He's the son of a Baptist minister who God delivered from the homosexual lifestyle after 25 years. Come on, you guys. God is good. He shares what the reality of that lifestyle is and why it is imperative that we share the gospel in love to those that are trapped in that LGBTQ bondage. So let's bring George in. Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm well, Tanya Joy. Thank you for having me back.
I'm so glad to have you back. Your story is just so compelling. And we were talking off air about, you know, my personal story with my daughter. And there's so much that we can talk about on this topic. And that's why I was so excited to get George back, because when you have somebody who's lived it, walked it, come through it, they have an authority. And so you don't have to go through your whole story, but share just highlights of kind of what God has done and how he's redeemed this now in that space of authority, which I just love.
Well, just as a brief overview, like she said, I am the son of a Baptist minister, and I wrote the book From Queer to Christ to just simply lay the outline and the foundation as to why I got into the homosexual lifestyle. And I hope that the book will give Christians some insight into what it's like for someone who is struggling with their faith and a same-sex attraction, as well as just to give hope to the parents who have LGBT kids, and hopefully give them some tips on what to do and what not to do, as not to drive them away from you, but to not be overwhelmed with sadness or sorrow, because it's nothing that God can't handle, because God is delivering so many of us out of that life. And I hear from gay men, especially from all over the world, who tell me how miserable they are and they want out of the lifestyle. It's just unfortunate the media will not highlight our stories. They are trying to silence our voices because they don't want people to know that there is hope and that there is a different narrative. But lastly, to the LGBTQ individuals, I want them to know you are being lied to. You are being fed a narrative. They don't care about you. God is the one who does care about you. And the liberal theologians have twisted God's word to the point of where it's hard to even discern the truth anymore. But thankfully, God helped me to work through all of that and bring me where I am today. I've been out of that lifestyle for 16 years now, and I know that you can get out of that bondage. And to those LGBT individuals, especially gays and lesbians, who may say, well, are you attracted to someone of the opposite sex? It's not about that. For some, God has delivered them and they've gone on to have successful relationships with someone of the opposite sex. But in my case, and in the case of so many others, we have chosen the path of celibacy. But a lot of us have had, at least in my case, I've had to go through a lot of real intense counseling to work with, to deal with some root core child trauma issues to help me to become more healthy. So right now, God has me on a path of isolation and being close to him. And right now, he's my lover, so to speak, the one I love and the one who really has my back. And I just want to encourage those LGBT individuals, if you are struggling with this issue, to know that there is hope and God really does love you and Jesus died for you. And when we as Christians come to you and share the truth of God's word in love, it's not because we're trying to demean you or use God's word to pound you over the head. I know what it's like to be on the receiving end of that, but to just give you a different narrative and hopefully that you'll think about salvation and eternity.
I love that. Wow, you just gave so much there in that short couple of minutes, like so many things we could jump on. So I want to focus on this too for a few minutes, because I think that's really important what you mentioned about the attraction to the opposite sex and whether or not you come out of this and then what do you do, right? Because I do believe that is at the root one of kind of those big fears for individuals. So can you elaborate and just share what that journey is like? Because I don't see many people talking about that. And I think that's a really important thing to discuss.
That's a great question and something that needs to be discussed. I wish Christians would understand, and I will speak for me. That's the only way I can really speak with authority. When you are grow up for 12 years in the school system and you're being called sissy, faggot, and queer and all of this stuff and being bullied, all of that trauma and that abuse and the lack of male bonding, the lack of affection from my father, and then going into the lifestyle where I spent 25 years, mostly in LA, you know, it really becomes your identity. And it was my world. And I had developed so many friendships within that world. But when God was getting me out of that lifestyle, I lost about 90% of the people in my life and some really close gay relationships that I had. And I went through a real deep grieving process. You know, God, it was almost like he turned my world upside down. And not only did I have to work through the understanding of the lies of the liberal theologians and the LGBT activists and what the media and Hollywood feed you, but the loss of my friends, I now had to have a new identity. Well, my identity is now in Christ and not in my sexuality. And since I wasn't attracted to women in the sexual way, and I really wasn't ready to date, I also had to go through a lot of counseling. And what Christians don't understand is when the individuals are leaving that lifestyle and they walk back into a church where most pastors and Christians are ill-equipped to handle these issues and to deal with these individuals because they don't understand it, it really makes for a lonely road, because they need to understand when you leave that lifestyle, you pretty much lose the backing of the LGBT community because now you're a traitor. And you go into the Christian world where a lot of Christians hard-hearted have very hard-hearted attitudes toward LGBT individuals. And so you find yourself in limbo. You don't know where to go. You don't know where you belong. And I think that's why so many of us who leave that lifestyle fall back into that lifestyle, because they're looking for a support system. And when I personally know of pastors through friends of people that I know and what I've dealt with, where pastors have said, we don't deal with that issue. You're on your own. We're not going to talk about it. You can castrate yourself or kill yourself. They've literally said that. How cold and hard-hearted.
Yeah.
And how devastating it must be to the individuals who just so desperately want a relationship with Christ. They want to walk with God, but they feel like he hates us.
Right.
The Christians don't know what to do with you, and the LGBT community hates you. So it is really, you've got to be strong.
And you end up, like you're saying, you end up being not included, not fitting in, hated from both sides. I mean, it almost, like, yeah. I remember when I heard your story, when you shared it. And again, for those of you that did not hear the first show, please, as soon as you're done with this, go back and watch the first show. And I will put that in the links below, because George shares his whole testimony and his whole story and goes into a lot more depth than we're covering as far as that aspect. But I remember when I heard that, it reminded me of, like, you know, kids who grow up who have that emptiness, they want to fit in, they want to feel. And so they end up in a gang.
Yep.
And then when they decide, I don't want to kill somebody, I don't want to do this anymore, their family, which is the gang, which is why they're part of it, because it is a family. It's somebody who fills that need that they have, which we know that only Jesus can fill. But they don't know that. A child doesn't know that. Many times 50-year-olds don't know that. I mean, it's not an age thing. It's just until we get an understanding and a revelation, we don't know that. But it reminds me of that, because now you make that choice to leave that family. And now they're going, oh, you're dead to us. You're dead to us. You're not part of it. And I mean, you were in that for 25 years. That's a lifetime for a lot, you know, that's a long time. So now all of a sudden your world, you've made this hard decision. I would imagine that to get to just the point where you make that decision, that's hard enough, because you, I'm sure, saw other people, maybe, I don't know if you did or not, kind of go through that and see what happened with them being discommunicated and, you know, cut off from kind of the family, if that makes sense.
I can give you one specific instance in which I was walking to go have dinner late one night, and I was just taking a walk by myself, and I had lost so much by this time and felt so lonely. And I remembered, Tanya Joy, wanting to go to a bar just to sleep with a man. And it was really to just kind of medicate, almost like through food, drugs, and alcohol, to get out of my head. But I was able to stop and realize, even if I did that, as soon as the act was over with, I'm still going to still feel like crap. And it's not going to change anything. And I think that was the turning point for me in realizing that 25 years of the sex, drugs, drinking, partying, pornography, and all of the craziness that comes with that lifestyle, I was able to stop and say, this isn't working. I've given it 25 years. Why do I still not have any real joy or peace within? And I knew that the only other option was either suicide or giving Jesus another chance. And I chose Jesus, and I'm so glad I did.
Yeah.
But it has been a tough
road. You did too.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, so I want to talk about something that you just said. This is what I love. You know, I love when the Holy Spirit leads and we just talk and then certain things come up. I want to go back in a few minutes and talk about the church, but I also want to talk about the pornography that's within that lifestyle, because for me, and I've shared this, it's been a while. I did some shows on it about a year and a half ago about what pornography does in general to the mind of an individual. I've had, unfortunately, multiple marriages. Most of them, well, I shouldn't say most of them. That sounds terrible. I've had three. So I've had three marriages. In all three cases, there was sexual sin and it was pornography on my husband's behalf. And it was, you know, either hidden or whatever, but it caused the destruction of the marriage. It caused the destruction of sexuality. It caused the, and you know, I know that that's hard to say because people know some of my exes and that's a hard thing. They don't want it, whatever, but that's the reality of it. And so I want to talk about that for a few minutes because that is such, you know, when I went through that, when I ended up finally going, okay, what am I missing? Because a marriage, relationships in general don't fall apart because one person, that's not reality. It falls apart because two people are involved and two people make mistakes. And so I had to go through, what were my mistakes? What did I miss? What did I not see? What were a lot of it I found out was red flags. I was ignoring the red flags. I was ignoring the Holy Spirit when he, you know, when the guy would say, oh, I'm dealing with this. And I was like, what does that mean? And I would ignore it instead of pushing in and going, wait a minute, what are you dealing with? You know, but what I came to understand was when people start looking at pornography, it literally rewires their brain and it becomes a heavier addiction to break than cocaine. It's easier for someone to break the addiction of cocaine than it is the addiction of pornography. And nobody talks about the pornography issue within the LGBTQ world because whatever you want goes sexually, you know, kind of is the mindset. So can you talk about that and just how prevalent that is? And really, what does that look like on the inside as far as pornography is concerned?
Tanya Joy, as you know, for those who start out looking at pornography, they may start out looking at just images of naked men or women. But over time, as you know, you get bored with it. Okay, well, what else is out there? And the next thing you know, you're looking at more sadistic, bondage, bestiality type, really hardcore pornography. It's just like with drugs, at least for me. You know, I started out smoking that little joint, but then I had to move to cocaine and shooting up and then other things, because after a while, it just, the lighter stuff doesn't do anything. The same with alcoholics. You start out drinking a few beers and now you're down to, now to hard whiskey, and it just progresses. And so I think the issue with pornography is once you start watching that, then you feel like, well, oh, that's the way sex is supposed to be. And so when you are in a biblical a relationship in the way that God has it designed, and you're just kind of intimately doing the vanilla stuff, if you're addicted to pornography, you think, well, this is just boring. This is the way it's supposed to be. And I know of a lot of young men who watch pornography, and their girlfriends have said that the boys feel like that's the way the girls want to be treated when they are being intimate. So this is the way that they think that women love sex. And when they find out, well, no, I don't want to participate in that, then they think there's something wrong. But this is what they are being groomed to believe. Mm-hmm. And it was nothing for me to go into a gay bar, and on the side of the wall, on a huge projector, there'd be just two guys going at it. The porn would just be playing. And you just get desensitized.
Yeah, it's a desensitization.
Yeah, I was completely desensitized to that stuff. Stuff that would really just upset a lot of people. I am so desensitized to it now. I mean, God has helped bring back how wrong and filthy and immoral it is. But when you're in that lifestyle, you just yawn because I've seen worse.
Yeah, and that's so sad because you think of what's, you know, again, then this kind of brings in what's going on in the school systems and what we're seeing in our books, in our children's libraries. So when, and it does, it all goes back to being desensitized to kind of get them to think anything goes. But mm-hmm. what they don't realize, or what maybe they do realize, and that's even more disgusting, they probably do, the people that are creating this, that as you desensitize the mind, like you said, it becomes an expectation. I can speak this from my husband's, were Christians. They were involved in church. They were worship leaders. They were sound engineers. They were people that led small groups. I mean, these guys were supposed Christ followers, but had this addiction, which then would come into the bedroom. It would change. What it does is it changes the intimacy. It goes from being an emotional, intimate thing to an expectation of you have to do this and you have to, or whatever it might be. And it so screws up the relationship. And so when you think of then what is happening with our kids and they're pushing this at such young ages, I would guess that as a child, if a boy or a girl are seeing these things and they're being desensitized, we know that the natural body is going to react when you see something sexual. That's the way we were made. So then their body reacts and they go, oh, well, maybe I am gay. I guess I'm attracted to both sides. Maybe I'm trans, maybe I'm this, because now they're so desensitized. So have you seen or had experiences where you've seen, you know, men that come, because I know so many men who've been married, then all of a sudden now they're gay. You know, and it's like, wait, what? And I often wonder if it's because of the pornography that they end up getting into, gay pornography, and then they assume, well, that must be what I am.
Let me give it to you from a couple of different angles. I've met men, and especially when I was younger, I really looked like a girl. I was really effeminate, and guys liked it when I dressed up. And I found that some of the men who would want me to dress up, it was because either they were really gay and they were struggling with it and they couldn't come to terms with it. So if I was dressed as a woman, that made it okay. Some really have some mental health issues. And this is when I knew that this is when I'm going to have to file some restraining orders, because they're off. And there's some mental issues in terms of why they have this fetish with trans or guys dressed like girls. There's a number of reasons why guys may seek this out. Maybe they just want to explore. Maybe they're bored. Maybe they saw it in pornography. Who knows what the reasons are? But I will tell you, Tanya Joy, I've talked to pastors who are struggling with this issue. And yes. I don't know if you know this, but I've seen statistics where the rise of women who are now addicted to pornography and even masturbation is on the rise. Mm-hmm. I think the other issue, Tanya Joy, is this. Women tend, this is a generalization, but when it comes to sex, women tend to be more emotional about it. Mm-hmm. Whereas men can have sex and it's just sex. They're so detached emotionally from it. So there's also things at play in terms of how we are hardwired, males versus females. So I guess maybe I've answered the question, but there's so many myriads of
so many. No, that makes sense. And there's so many ways. And it's interesting because when I did this show, we did a 2-part series, my sister and I, with another sister group called the Resistance Chicks. And they've got a great podcast and everything. And they're just strong Christian girls and everything. And so we did a whole 2 to 3 episodes with them, talking all about pornography and going really deep. And I had just, you know, because when I went through this, because at one point I was in a relationship and he wanted me to watch it and I didn't know. And I was like, okay, well, I don't really want to do that, but I mean, okay. And he wanted me to have an account and we'll pick videos. I mean, it was intense. And I felt so much shame and so much like, this is not right, but like, I don't know what this is. I don't know what's going on. And so we talked all about this on the show. And what was interesting is when I started going through healing about it, women consume porn through books and through audio. Mm-hmm. That is the number one way. So women may go, I don't have an issue with pornography. Well, what are you reading? Mm-hmm. Are you addicted to the romance novels that are very detailed? What about, I mean, I remember when 50 Shades of Grey came out, I read it. Oh, look at this thing puts a thumb when you get put your thumb up. That's so weird. Freaks me out every time it happens. But like, I remember when that book came out and the movie, I saw the first movie with friends, you know, because I didn't know. But that is how women are consuming it.
Yeah.
And so women may think we're not really affected by it, but yes, we are. It's the same thing. And then we get the same expectation. Well, why is our guy not doing this? Or why, you know, it goes hand in hand. It's not just like, I love that you brought that up, that women are, in fact, when I looked at the numbers, the statistics of who was actually addicted or who consumed more was women.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the books. But if you took books out, then no. But as far as looking at the whole thing, women consumed more pornographic material, which is just unbelievable to me. So I want to change gears a little bit because you
may can I add one more thing?
Yes, 100%. And I'm still going to talk about it. I just want to bring the church aspect in a little bit.
Okay. And don't forget your question.
I wrote it down.
The other issue is, in today's modern world, with the women being liberated, and the number of women on TikTok bragging about their sexual escapades, the dozens, if not hundreds, of men that they've gone through, they will flat out tell you, "I don't want some good man to be at home with. I want the gang member or the bad boy or the Chad or Tyrone," as they say. And they talk about, "Oh, a man's got to have so much in his pants, and I like it rough," and this. Very sexually explicit stuff. So understand, from the male point of view, you have women who are against pornography and they want women to be respected, but you've got the flip side of the women saying, "Well, no, we don't want that. And so we want it rough and we like the bad boys."
Yeah.
And then the women will complain, "Well, where are all the good men?"
Right.
The good has been stolen or kicked out of them by the mean-spirited women or the feminists or the really aggressive women who want a man to take charge and let's get in the bedroom and let's just do all this nasty, vile stuff. So understand, women have got to take some responsibility for this as well, because the men are confused. You know, don't look at me in a sexual way, but yet they walk outside and they practically have nothing on.
Exactly.
But then you want to complain that he's sexualizing you.
Yeah.
Understand that from a man's point of view, no one's thinking you're a doctor or a lawyer. They're thinking you're a whore. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
So if you want respect, carry yourself with respect and dress like a lady and cover up. I find women who really dress up and are very elegant and are very modest to be the most beautiful, because there's a class and there's just something about them that just exudes a ladylike tendencies, and we just don't have ladies anymore.
No,
it's just really sad.
That's a really good point. And you think back, like, so I've been watching, and it's not spiritually a great show, but it's a fantastic show from an acting perspective. There's a show called The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and it's older from a while. It takes place in the 50s and in the 60s, and the acting is out of this world. There are some bad things that happen in it that are not biblically good. But something fascinating about the show is the way that they took to the time period and the way they took to the clothing and just the period of the 50s and 60s and the dresses and the clothes. And the interesting thing is you watch it change. The show starts mid 50s and it goes up and through the 60s and into the 70s. And you watch the first in the beginning, these women had just these gorgeous dresses. I mean, they were stunning. Like, I would love to be one of those kind of girls that could wear that on a daily basis. Like, I would be one of those that would wear the dress with the, you know, I forget what it's called, the skirt underneath that makes it real fluffy, you know, like, I would love those kind of dresses. And, you know, and they were high necks and sometimes they'd be a little V, but they were very modest, but they were gorgeous. And the women were gorgeous. Or even the straight, you think of Jackie O and the clothes that she wore that were just stunning. I even think of, you know, Melania Trump, she dresses like that, just beautifully, just stunning clothes. And then you see our kids today and you do, like, I'm so grateful that my youngest daughter, who's 18, she's just not interested in that stuff. She's a little bit more, slower in her, I don't know, she just doesn't care. You know, she loves being outside. she cares about how she looks, but like, she's like, Mom, I don't care. Like, I don't need to wear dresses. And, you know, she's just more casual. So luckily I don't have to deal with her like with that. Luckily, I'm so grateful with what I dealt with the older one, that at least I'm not also dealing with now a younger one who's wanting to wear midriff. But I see it, you know, I see it with so many of the young kids where I'm like, you don't let your daughters go out, especially, and I hate to say it this way, but especially when they're really developed and they have really cute bodies, because a lot of these girls do. Mm-hmm. They should not be going out in short midriffs that are completely fitted, that look like you're wearing a bra and leggings. That's just, you could wear it, but throw a sweatshirt over it. You know what I mean? Just throw something loose over it at the same time, because it does send a mixed message to the boys. And mm-hmm. you're absolutely right. You know, and then we've got this Me Too movement, and it's like, I get it. Yes, there are men that take advantage. There are also women that take advantage. And so mm-hmm. we have got to reset this whole thing, because what we put out there does send a message. 100,000,000%. It sends a message. And so, yeah, I'm grateful that you brought that up.
And so, I like what you said about the shows from the 50s and 60s, because when I watch them, it's not just the clothing that the women are wearing. They're just so elegant and just gorgeous. And the dresses are different. And I love the men as well, because they wear the suits and they have the hats, the fedoras or whatever they are. But I just thought, what a magical time to have lived back then, where people really took pride in their appearances and tried to. It was all about elevating yourself. Now it seems like everybody can't wait to get on TikTok and say, oh, I had an abortion and I have syphilis. Yeah. Okay, great. This is where we are.
It's crazy. That's so true. I mean, I remember in this show, they highlight, like, they have some scenes at an airport. And so the women, they've got their hats on and they've got their hat boxes, and there's no security you had to go through, because the people that came to the airport, they were like, they were going like to the opera. I mean, they were dressed up. You got meals. And it's like, people go, oh, I can't imagine. How nice would it be to get a meal? You can't even get peanuts on an airplane anymore. Well, guess what? Maybe if we would have kept ourselves to take care of the way we operated, and we walked with elegance and we dressed with elegance, and maybe we still would have some meals on the plane. You know what I mean? Like, it all changed. It's not just one thing. It all changed. And it would be sure nice. I would love if we went back to that kind of an era personally, because I am more that kind of, you know, I would be the one that would be wearing hats. And, you know, the women, there was a scene in the movie that's in the show that's so cute. The ladies go to sleep and, you know, they've still got their beautiful makeup and their hair, and they've got their nice, even their nighties, you know, their pajamas were nighties, you know, they looked like gowns, and they get a bed, good night, honey. And they lay there. And then all of a sudden you see the woman open her eyes and look, and once he's asleep, she gets up and then she goes and washes her face. They didn't even wash their makeup off. I mean, like, that's a little like, I don't know if I could do that, but that was how much women wanted to look and care for themselves. You know what I mean? And it was a whole different time. Okay. So I want to keep talking about this, but I did want to ask you, because you mentioned this earlier, and I've seen this with the way that the church is handling this surge, right? Whether it's LGBT, trans, whatever it might be, that whole group of culture. I know I was at a church and I asked if I could start like a, you know, almost like a small group, but just like a meeting once a month or whatever for the parents, for the families who are dealing with this, because I knew they were dealing with it because I've had them come personally and talk to me because I'm vocal about my story. So they'll come talk to me and, oh my gosh, we're going through this and we really need prayer and we don't know what to do. And the church won't touch it.
Yeah.
The answer was, well, I mean, how would we do that? Because we don't want to like expose them. And I go, what do you mean? How would you do it? Just make an announcement and say, if you want to join, come Friday at 10 a.m. You don't have to tell us. You're just show up. No big deal. They were afraid to even say that from the pulpit. How do we get our churches to get through and get over this and recognize that we've got to start at least talking about this?
It infuriates me, Tanya Joy. That's all I can say. even for me, when I was struggling and in the church, what would infuriate me is how they would have classes for divorced individuals, but they wouldn't have it for the LGBT mm-hmm. individuals. How nice it would have been to have met others struggling with this issue and to at least been able to say, well, hey, can we be accountable to each other? And can you help me on this journey? And I'll help you, et cetera. I don't understand the pastor's unwillingness to address this issue. How difficult is it just to say, if you're struggling with this issue, you can come talk to me. There's not going to be any judgment. I am going to speak the truth of God's word. But what's so important is that you know that we're not here to pounce on the homosexual. We speak about heterosexual sexual sin as well. We right. hold everyone accountable according to God's word and the biblical standards of what God expects from us. But we're going to love you. We're not going to mistreat you. Come in and let's have the dialogue. And how else are the Christians going to understand how to deal with it unless people are talking about it? But I can't even get my foot in the door in most of these churches because everybody's so scared they're going to offend someone. Does anyone ever stop to think about that they are offending God? But no, we don't care if we offend God, but let's not offend people. And for me, Tanya Joy, when I hear from the pastors who reach out to me privately, who have an LGBT son or daughter and completely at a loss as to how to deal with it, because they certainly can't go public with it at their church, or parents who are struggling with it, you can just sense the desperation and they don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle it. And to me, this is a no-brainer. If you get people like me or them sharing this Real interview course. And we have this discussion, it's at least insightful and informative, and they can better understand the issue and be better equipped to deal with the issue. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you real quickly, I had a lady in the Midwest reach out to me, and there were six families that she knew of, and all of them had LGBT kids. So they met at her house. They set up the computer. We did a conference nice. Thing. And so I just briefly shared my testimony, and then I allowed them to ask whatever questions they wanted and to just really help alleviate any concerns or what can we do or not do. And I think it really benefited them. And one of the things that I said was, it's so important that you keep the door of communication open for your child so that they know they can come and talk to you, and that whatever they tell you, that I get so tired of these parents who react so negatively, just shut your mouth and sit there quietly and listen. Be thankful that they are opening up to you, because if you don't and you shut that down, they're going to go talk to other people who aren't going to have their best interests at heart. And by having had that conversation, one of the couples, their son had met with a guy, had met a stranger on the internet, and the guy physically overpowered him and raped him. And they had to take him to the hospital. It was pretty brutal. But she remembered the conversation and she didn't overreact. She stayed very calm. And she said, I just thank you for that. And I'm not patting myself on the back. That was just a God-given thing that I said it, and that incident would then arise. But understand, for me, because I couldn't go talk to my parents and I couldn't talk to anybody in the church, I didn't trust anyone, you're left to go out into the world and figure this out for yourself, and then look at where many of us end up, addicted and in mm-hmm. bondage and in various, just really struggling with a lot of issues. It's communication is so important.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I mean, I know even with my oldest who's going through this, I didn't know the things that I know now. Right. So when she was little and I started to see things and missed things, you know, would let her go stay at friends' houses for overnights and had that sick feeling of, I don't think this is a safe home. I remember, I clearly remember a couple homes, but I was a single mom. I was working full time. I was going to school full time. I was totally by myself. Their dad was out of the picture. There was no money help. I was so overwhelmed. Not that that's a good excuse. It's a reason. It's not a good reason, but it is a reason. And I think of now, that's why now I'm like, I want, if other families within the church could meet mm-hmm. and talk, and like you're saying, we could share our stories. We could share, here's what I went through. Here's what I learned I shouldn't do. Here's what I would suggest you don't do. What are you going through? Wow. Okay. Well, I'm going to take some of what you're doing and I'm going to try and adapt it. When I started to go through this with my oldest, I reached out looking for somewhere mm-hmm. and I got recommended a woman, a group, this supposed Christian group. And so I started watching their videos. I talked to the leader of it a few times And I'm telling you, the worst thing was what they were basically saying was, don't worry about it. God loves them. You just accept them. You just keep moving. You basically don't speak any of the truth to them. It doesn't matter. They were just embracing it as it's okay. And there's such a fine line between that where, like, I've come, and now my oldest, I mean, she gets really mad when I try to tell her this. If I send her a text and say, I just want you to know I love you and I'm here for you. That's all mm-hmm. I'll say. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get every swear back in the book, you know, and I mean, a message that's so long, you know, and it's all my fault. And that's okay. That's okay. I don't mind. But see, years ago, I would take that personal mm-hmm. and I would take that and I would push back and fight back. Whereas now I've come to the point where that's okay. She can blame me. Mm-hmm. I can take it. I know she's not, I know that at the root, I know what the root of it is. I know that there's trauma, there's abuse, there's pain, all these things. But if we can't even have those conversations, you know, it's like, I think about this, like I said, at our church where we were, where I was going, look, I'm willing to share my story. I'm willing to, I don't know what I'm doing, but I've got enough people I'm connected with. We'll put a curriculum together. These parents need help. And then nothing, you know, you kind of, I got to the point where I was like, well, then I guess I don't know. I got to find somewhere else to go because I can't just sit back and go, I've walked this and I'm just going to shove it under a rug, because it's like your story. If you just came out of that and you went, I'm done, I'm out, but I'm never talking about it. You've helped thousands upon thousands of people because you're willing to go, this is what I walked through. Mm-hmm. And I am willing to share my testimony and I'm willing to answer questions, because if it can help one person, then it's all worth it. It's very, very frustrating when the church won't do that.
Let me ask you this. Would the pastor be open to, if there was a little blurb in your bulletin where it said, have an LGBT child, ? Please contact Tanya Joy at this number or email address. She has a trans daughter or whatever. Yeah. Maybe there could be a blurb in the bulletin. But if not, you don't need the church's permission. Use your big mouth and tell them. Use your mouth and just say, this is my story. If anybody's doing this, either contact me or go to my website. You'll see my email address or a phone number. Contact me. Confidentiality is assured. Or if you're an LGBT individual struggling and you just want to talk to someone, but put it out there that you are a safe person, Tanya Joy, and maybe that will be
kind of, I've kind of done it luckily through the show. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've got the opportunity to do that through the show and traveling. And so it's been great to be able to have that, but it just would be so nice to see the church. Like you're saying, you've got divorce groups, but this particular church, they don't do that for divorced people either. The divorced people kind of get shoved out the door as well. So I've got like two marks on my back, right? But, you know, but it, going forward, I know there's so many other churches, and I guess I share all of that not to talk down about this church or anything like that, but to just say, we have to bring this stuff out in the open mm-hmm. and we have to be willing. And so for other churches or other families, you know, that's why I love having you back on the show. That's why I loved having Laura on the show. It's so important, because we've got to keep this at the forefront. Because like you said, the mainstream news, they're not going to touch this. They don't want this story out there. They don't want anyone to know that you came from a Christian family, that you lived in this lifestyle, that you saw it firsthand, that it tried to take you down and God overcame. They don't want that story out there. So if I can get the story out there, I'm like, let's do it, because I know that it blesses people. I know that there are people out there that feel all alone. And, you know, even as you were saying that, like, as people, if you're watching this and you do feel that way, my gosh, please email me. Please send me a message. If you want to email George, if you want to reach out to George, go to his website, georgecarneal.com. Get his book, From Queer to Christ, and read that. Like, please don't struggle through this alone, I guess, is the big point. Whether you're a parent, whether you're a grandparent, because there's a lot of grandparents and aunts and uncles and family members that have nowhere to go. They don't know what to do. And they've lost a family member to this narrative, to this culture change. Don't struggle through this alone. There are so many of us out there that would love to connect.
And may I add that on my website, on page one, down near the bottom, there's a message to LGBTQ individuals, something that you may or parents may want to read and maybe want to forward it to someone. But if you go to page two, it's at the very top of the website, it says page two. But if you click on that, I go through a lot of stuff that's happening in the world. Don't get overwhelmed by the information, but there's a section for LGBT, I mean, parents and resources and stuff. And you'll see some links to various ex-gay organizations and organizations for parents where you may be able to reach out to them and they can give you some guidance on how to deal with the issue, or better yet, refer you to other organizations that perhaps I'm unaware of. But I want you to know there's information on that website from what is happening into the school, in the school system, to what they're doing to the children, exposing the trans ideology, the Christian persecution, Satanism in the school system. Like I said, if you'll just take 30 minutes and peruse the headlines, if there's anything that you are interested in, you can always click on the link. But there's a lot of information that I want.
A lot of good information in
available.
Here.
Yeah, because I
see this. Yeah, good.
I was getting too many emails from people. Oh, and lastly, Tanya Joy, I wanted to say to you and so many others, if you guys ever have a number of people that are struggling with this issue, if you all can meet in one home or in a place where there is a video conferencing thing, reach out to me. I'm happy to, I can briefly share my story, but I'm happy to listen to the parents and answer any questions that they may have and help them on this path. It's important, yes, that parents talk to each other, but it's also important to listen to the ex-LGBT individuals, because we have a completely different perspective as to why we got into that lifestyle and what we needed to have avoided that lifestyle, or what we needed when we were in it in order for you to help us get out of it. Mm-hmm. And I try to detail some of that in my book. So it is a journey, but I'm happy to help where I can.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's very, very true. That's why it's so always so great when you, because it's one thing, like you said, it's one thing to have outsiders, if you will, just talking about it. It's another thing to have people who've experienced it from a parental perspective, but I've only experienced it from the parental side. I don't know. I don't know the depths of what my daughter's gone through. I know enough to know that there's some probably heavy, serious abuse and trauma. And I wish I knew that, because I would be praying and helping. But the bottom line is, when you can get the opportunity to talk to someone who's gone through that, been there, like you're saying, it gives us the opportunity to learn and to hear and go, what? Like I was, when Laura was on, I asked her, you know, even afterwards, like, you know, here's my story. What do you suggest I do? Right. Like, because I don't know. I mean, I've never done this before. So it's so important to be able to have those conversations.
And I wanted to add to something that you said, when your daughter would go over and stay at certain homes where you felt there were some red flags or you didn't feel comfortable. I actually had a friend of mine. Her daughter would go over and stay with some friends, but her daughter started developing some real behavioral issues. And my friend eventually found out that what was happening was that when her daughter went to this one particular house, the other kids were playing with a Ouija board. So now they've opened up these demonic doorways, and they've had to work on that. I'm just telling you, that's why if I had kids this day and age, I think I'd have dog collars on their neck, around their necks. They would never be allowed to go anywhere or stay with anyone. And if so, I'd have to go in the home and do an inspection and find out what these parents are about. I don't trust anybody when it comes to with my kids, if I had any. Yeah. I don't know if I would be overbearing, but in this day and age, parents, you can't be too trusting. You've got to really do your diligence. And if something doesn't seem right, it doesn't hurt to ask questions or have those kids come over and stay at your house so you can keep an eye on them.
Exactly. That's something that I always have regretted, that I didn't pay attention to those things more. And because the same thing, same exact story. Yep. Things, I know there was demonic stuff that started coming in. I watched it. I could see it in my daughter's eyes. I mean, her eyes would literally change colors. I could, I would watch it happen. And that's where you go, gosh, I want to share those things, because if what we go through, and it's like what you've gone through, if you can share little nuggets that will just stop someone from having, you don't want someone to have to go through the same crap you've gone through. Like, it's painful. You know, if we can prevent someone else from going down that path, why wouldn't we do it? You know, why wouldn't we want to share those stories?
Yeah. And I've been fortunate in that God has allowed me to meet parents where their children or the youth would be willing to meet with me. And I do it in love. And I just say, look, what you do is what you want to do. I understand the struggle. I've been there. But if you choose to go down that path, let me tell you the reality of what you can look forward to. And thank God, most of them have been they've listened. And I've just said, what you're being told is not the truth. And when these Christians affirm this, they're harming you. But when you go into this lifestyle, let me tell you the reality of what you can expect. And it's going to be a long, painful road. And not only that, are you not going to find peace or happiness or real joy, but you're being in further rebellion against God. And there are repercussions and ramifications of the choices that you're going to make, that for the long term, I am paying a price for that. And I just don't want to see them go through it. So thankfully, most of them have been very receptive. And I do it in a very loving way, but not at all condemning. And that's why I think it's so important for Christians to really have so much compassion and empathy. Because if you ever stop to talk to these individuals, even if they are strangers, instead of trying to see them as a fix-it project, why don't you gain their trust and ask them, what was your childhood like?
Yes.
And if you can gain their trust, and if they truly open up to you about some horrific things that have happened, most have been through some severe trauma, sexual, mm-hmm. physical, verbal, mental, emotional abuse, just horrific stories that are out there. Mm-hmm. But once you get God involved and the Holy Spirit starts working, and they can get into some counseling, and God works on those root core issues, healing can be found. They need to know that God is their ally, and that with counseling, they can work on that trauma and find healing, but that drugs, alcohol, and the LGBT community is not the way to go.
Yeah. Amen. That's such good truth. And wow, that's great. I think that's a good place to end. I love that advice. I don't have anything else to add to that. It's just fantastic. George, thank you so much for always being willing to come on and share and encourage people, and, you know, in all areas. It's just so wonderful. I'm so grateful to know you and really appreciate you. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
For everybody, again, make sure you check out George's website, georgecarneal.com. Pick up his book. It'll really bless you. Hang on, George. We're just going to wrap things up here. Y'all, thank you so much again for joining us today. As always, you can watch us on Rumble, Clout Hub, Facebook, Bless News TV, all of those places. Check out our website as well, tanyajoy.tv. You can reach out to me there. There's spots that you could send notes. You can subscribe just so that you're on our mailing list. We don't really have a mailing list right now. I'm just going to be honest, but eventually someday, maybe we will. But I lost our CRM. I lost everyone's contacts when I had to rebuild the website a couple months ago. So if you were on our website before, if you would go back and just re-enter your information, that would be wonderful. And as you know, we've been ending all the shows with a scripture. And so today's is 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5. And this is what the Word of God says. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And guys, that's for all of us. That's not for one particular group. That is for everybody. That's what God's word has commanded us. So again, thank you for joining us. Please also remember, go check out that free video series. I'm going to show a quick commercial about that, but go check it out. iwantmyhealthback.com/Tanya Joy. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, bye for now.
Hi, everybody. Despite open borders, staggering grocery and gas prices, and all of the talk of war, there is a miraculous revolution of health taking place across America. And that's because your body is a miracle machine, fully capable of healing itself. That's why we're here today to help you and your body do miraculous things and regain your optimum health. So now is the time for you to learn about the Magic Dycol family of products, the NanoSoma liquid spray, the Metasomer topical gel, and the Metasomer telomerase natural skin cream. Join the revolution of wellness and take back your health by signing up for our free video series at iwantmyhealthback.com/Tanya Joy. Now you can watch our free video series and learn how to take your health back. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Tanya Joy. That is iwantmyhealthback.com/Tanya Joy. Imagine you can unleash the power of your own body to restore itself. When the Magic Dicol products trigger the nuclear receptors in your body to take care of you in ways you have never even imagined. So go log in now at iwantmyhealthback.com/Tanya Joy. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Beauty for Ashes with Tanya Joy. Please subscribe, hit the notification bell, and leave us a comment below. Lastly, if you've enjoyed today's podcast, share with those who came to mind. Be blessed, and remember, you were created for such a time as this.